We are trying to answer this question. What does it mean to seek first the kingdom of God? And on top of that, what kingdom is he talking about? Kingdom of light, kingdom of darkness, spiritual versus evil. Stay tuned. That's what this podcast is about. I'm your host, John Moffitt. I'm the pastor of Grace Reformed Church in Spring Hill, Tennessee. And I am so excited to bring to you today a special guest that we met, maybe a year and a half ago. It's been a while. I got the opportunity to go on her podcast to talk about things that we won't mention today, but not that we're bad. They were great. Go watch the episode. but today we have this special guest with us, Adrienne Virtue. And Theocast has been a ministry that I've been excited and passionate about for many years, where we're helping people to find rest in the sufficiency of Christ, and that we're pulling the abused and the confused and those who are new to the faith and giving them a solid foundation, which is upon Christ. There's an aspect to our faith. And Jesus, what's interesting is he spent 40 days after his resurrection, 40 days. And Acts 1, he spends 40 days teaching the disciples about the kingdom of God. And that's the part about our faith that can be so confusing. Like, what does it mean to seek first the kingdom of God? And in doing so, he's preparing them for what we often ignore, a spiritual warfare. Both Peter, Paul, 1 John, Jude, James, they all reference this non-physical spiritual war between spiritual light and darkness. And that's what Doreen is here to talk to us about today. Really, her experience of coming out of being on one side, promoting the forces of evil without even knowing she was, and her glorious transformation by the gospel. And now she gets to promote the kingdom of light. So Doreen, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Pastor John. It's an honor to be here.
Yeah, it's so good to hear. So I would love for you to start. I thought about giving that introduction myself. I think, now I'm going to let her do it. I'd love for you to tell our listeners of why your experience and really what you came from and how God's using it now, but what you came from is relevant to this conversation of the realms. There's a kingdom of light, a kingdom of darkness. They're at war. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'll just quote one verse when Paul says in Ephesians 6, right? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against these forces of evil, right? So talk to us about your past and how God brought you to himself and your ministry as well.
It's been an amazing transformation. And if you had told me 12 years ago I would be a born-again Christian on your podcast, I would have laughed, actually, because right. I thought I was a Christian my whole life. I was raised in a false gospel church called Christian Science, which is not Christian nor scientific. I was given a KJV Bible as a child. We were assigned daily reading of the Bible. We went to church twice a week. We said the Lord's Prayer and with a commentary from Mary Baker Eddy, which is unbiblical. Right. But my point is, I always thought that I was a follower of Jesus, but we didn't have any kind of parameters, because in Christian Science, the belief was that Genesis 3 was a myth, that there was no crucifixion, and that it was completely focused on the first gospel, the first letter of John, that God is love. That's all we focused on. God is love. And then also Genesis 1:26, where we're made in the image and likeness of God. And so in Christian Science, you're taught, well, God's sinless, so therefore you're sinless. That's and right. the teaching was that there's no devil, there's no hell, it's just a scare tactic. So I grew up with this la-la land kind of fake Jesus that is a buddy. And I thought I was following him, but of course I was following myself. Right. I was a poster child for 2 Timothy 4, that just in my itching ears, I wanted any kind of teaching that would tickle my ear. But the kind of to make a cliff note of my testimony, I grew up and I became a psychotherapist. I got a BA and MA in psychology from Chapman University. Actually worked at Cumberland Hall Hospital in Nashville, Tennessee as a director of a women's psychiatric clinic there. And that was really my first introduction to spiritual warfare, because I was dealing with survivors of satanic abuse, ritual abuse, and incest who'd had dissociated. And then left Tennessee in the 90s and came back to my, and people are going to judge me for this, but it's the truth. I was born and raised in California. Yay! So I came back to California.
So was I, 30 years.
SoCal. Okay.
That's right.
Look at Laguna Beach area, Orange County.
Yeah, oh, I love it. That's where I was from, Orange County.
It's so amazing how God's using. He can even use California.
That's right.
But I had some supernatural experiences ever since childhood. I think primarily because of Christian Science and the fact that my dad, who was Presbyterian, was not giving us spiritual cover. He handed over the family to my mother to raise in Christian Science. So I had poltergeist experiences, visions, just a bunch of scary supernatural experiences since as far back as I can remember, and no one to explain it. And we were KJV only us. And I still read the KJV. I think it's a fine translation, sure. But when it's your only translation and you're a little child and you're given a commentary from Mary Baker Eddy, the Bible didn't make any sense at all to me. You know, I mean, I still say Psalm 23 in the Lord's Prayer in KJV language.
That's right.
It's beautiful. But so my point is that I was, it was a little bit of syncretism going on because as a psychologist, you get into a lot of self-help, pointing to the self. Self-healing was big, self-esteem, all these self modalities. And so I started to write books about my psychology experiences. My clinical specialty was eating disorders and women's issues. So I was writing books on that. And then I was invited to start speaking at a mind-body-spirit festival called the Whole Life Expo. And we toured North America to different convention centers with the most famous New Age teachers and mind, body, spirit teachers. And it was there that I got involved with the New Age in the 90s because they had booths at every one of these festivals selling different, very odd wares. You know, the literal copper pyramid you could buy to put on top of your head, and chakra clearing classes and yoga classes and Reiki master classes. And me being a natural researcher, I just was curious. It seemed so exotic. I mean, I was raised in New Thought, not New Age.
Right.
So I went through all these booths and I started, because we were together every month, you know, twice a month, usually, I got to know the booth operators and learned about chakra clearing and astrology and yoga and all these New Age modalities. And as I would get proficient in them, I would start to write books on those topics and start to teach about those topics. And that's how I became a New Age teacher and was one for over 20 years. By the time God mercifully saved me in late 2017, I had written, I think, about 70 books in 38 languages. And then started to really get into tarot and oracle cards and divination because I didn't know our God. I didn't know God is sovereign. So I didn't, you can't trust someone you don't know. Mm-mm. So it was all about trying to predict and control the future in the New Age. And then I lived a super sinful personal life. By the time God saved me, I was literally like the woman at the well in John 4. I had had multiple relationships. I was, you know, syncretism. I thought I was a Christian using Christian language in my books and my seminars, but teaching people how to do divination and mediumship because it's a door, it's this doorway and things, you just keep going to more and more sin. And these things were normal in the New Age. In the New Age, there was a lot of addictions and serial monogamy was the norm there. And really trying to push the envelope of weirdness. And that was my life for over 20 years. And I didn't think anything different. The thing was, Pastor John, people kept telling me my work was helping them, that it was comforting them. They would tell me all the time I was a gift from God to write these books and these cards. And I was on all the liberal talk shows constantly. I was on Oprah and The View and CNN, and I was left wing in my political stance. I was pro-life. I was a weirdo to be pro-life in the New Age movement, but I was, very left-wing and so is the New Age movement. Mm-hmm. I remember my publisher telling me, you have to vote for Hillary Clinton. We can't afford to have Trump come in office. Just kind of, a lot of liberal messages theologically and politically. And touring with all these New Age teachers, every one of us was broken. Every one of us had a really messed up life. There was health issues you weren't allowed to talk about on stage. And I mean, the stage was in front of thousands of people, sold out audiences around the world. I mean, we were influencing thousands. It's so scary and regretful now. But we were pretending to have it all together. Look at me. You can be like me if you buy my book, go to my seminar. And it's just a complete sham counterfeit facade. So that's the world I was in. By the time that I was saved, the statistics showed that I was the top selling New Age author in the world. And I used to be proud of that. Now I'm grieved because a lot of my old products are still out there that others are selling, the used copies, and there's bootleg printers selling it. And I'm often accused because I don't have any way of getting those products off the market. They're they're copyrighted to the publishers, and there was licenses to foreign publishers. So all I can do is go on podcasts and say, hey, if you have my old products, I'm really sorry, but please burn them or throw them away and do not buy New Age products, because you test the spirits. They all fail the test of the spirit. None of these so-called angels and spirit guides that I was channeling ever confessed Jesus biblically. They called Jesus an ascended master. And they said, Jesus just wants you to be happy and positive. You can do whatever you want. Follow your heart, follow your bliss. And so that fails the test of the spirit there.
Yes, it does.
These spirits also discouraged people from going to church or reading the Bible. They would say the Bible was corrupted by the Roman Catholic Church in Constantine.
That's right.
Which is historically impossible because the canon was closed before they were around. But we also romanticized the Dead Sea Scrolls in the New Age. We said that, oh, the Gospel of Thomas has the truth. Now, none of us had read the Gospel of Thomas, mind you. If we had, we would have seen that it's insane and it's actually misogynist.
It's not good. But,
no, but we had these party lines from the New Age that we just kept repeating, that we believed that Jesus' so-called lost years between age 12 when he was in the synagogue and when he started his earthly ministry, that during those interim years that he went to Qumran in the Dead Sea, or he went to India and he learned how to levitate, and that's where he learned how to do the healing, and that we could be like him and that we could ascend like him. Just blasphemous things. We all believed that Jesus was a created being like us. Nobody believed Jesus was God in the New Age.
No, of course
and
not.
The thing was, the people I was dealing with, like me, had come out of churches. Almost all of us had Christian or Catholic backgrounds. And something had happened with the church in early years where they had left it for the New Age. And the pattern that I kept seeing was that they saw hypocrisy in the church. It's heartbreaking when a pastor goes into sin, of course. And they saw a lot of gossiping among congregants, which is a condemned sin. And they had supernatural experiences that they felt like the church was not answering their questions. And New Age seemed to answer their questions about the supernatural, but of course in an unbiblical, untrue way.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, that is a lot. So we're gonna go back and unpack some. I mean, I just wanted to point out for those of you that are new to the podcast, is that, Doreen, you actually talked about reading your Bible from a child. Like they talked about, sometimes people think, and I love that you emphasize this, that in the New Age, they de-emphasize going to church, because you can have your Bible and be deceived. That's the thing that people don't understand. You are one of those who had the Bible and yet were deceived. I just want to read a passage that we don't read supernaturally. We don't think about it being the Spirit doing his work, the Holy Spirit in our lives, collectively doing our work. So this is Ephesians chapter 4, and he's talking about how the Holy Spirit comes and works within each individual part of the body. But notice what he protects us from. So this is Ephesians 4, and he's talking about when the Holy Spirit comes and fills each one of us, gives us a different gift. So this is verse 12, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measures and statures and fullness of Christ. This all sounds great. Like, yes, we want to know more. We want to be mature. We want to be strong. But there's a counter to this. Verse 14, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, this would be New Age right there, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. So the protection comes from the church. The church protects itself using its resources appropriately. Unfortunately, they're also churches who proclaim to be gospel churches. This is why we're going to get into this later in the podcast, but we have to then test the spirits. We have to have something to guide ourselves or protect ourselves with. So to think that there isn't a war inside and outside the church, that's what this podcast is about.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so, yeah, I was shocked.
Go ahead.
Just kind of to finish the testimony. I was listening to, since I thought I was a Christian, I would listen to Christian radio pretty much as long as I can remember. I was really big into Chuck Smith on Calvary Chapel Radio in the 90s. I listened to him every day, and I lived around the corner from his Costa Mesa church. Why I didn't go there and I instead went to Huntington Beach Religious Science Church. I mean, it's God's sovereign, so that's all
that's
I can say.
That's absolutely right.
but then we moved to Hawaii in 2008. We don't live there right now, of course, but 2008. And I would listen to Christian Satellite Network there, and I would listen to Alistair Begg every day. And on January 15th, 2015, I heard him exegete 2 Timothy 4 about the itching ears and the false teachers. Mm. And he described a false teacher, Pastor John, and it was like he was describing me. Wow. And that was the first time that I remember the Holy Spirit convicting me. First time ever. Mm. Never because people ask me, didn't you know what you were doing was wrong? You read the Bible. No, I did not know what I was doing was wrong. I had cherry picked the Bible, the KJV only, which I didn't understand the Elizabethan language.
Right.
You know, I'm not putting it down, but there's a need for modern languages that are well put together, like That's ESV right. and NASB and LSB. And so I went home and I said to Michael, I said, you know what? I feel like I'm a false teacher now that I've listened to this. I think we need to start studying the Bible and go to church. And he agreed. He was raised Methodist and back before it was really ultra liberal and baptized at 12. And so he was like me. He thought he was a Christian. And the syncretism blending of paganism with Christianity, which you can't do.
Nope.
And so we started to look for a denomination to go to. We flipped around. We went to Seventh-day Adventist. Mm-hmm. We went to Foursquare for about a year and a half. Wow. We became Pentecostals. And then we ended up in an Episcopalian church just because of the hospitality. That was that was like our litmus test back then, was nice people. And the Episcopalians, let me tell you, they're unparalleled in their hospitality.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And there was a lot of unbiblical doings there, which I won't go into, but it was a progressive church.
Yeah.
But while we were there, we were reading the Bible on our own. And the whole Bible, not just cherry picking. Mm-hmm. So when I got to Deuteronomy 18, 10 through 12, which is, of course, everyone knows the story. Mm-hmm. This is God speaking through Moses as the Israelites are about to cross the Jordan River and go into Canaan. And, and God's saying to them, do not be like the Canaanites. Do not burn your sons and daughters to Molech. And do not practice divination. Do not practice fortune telling or interpreting of signs or omens or mediumship. Which those things, I wasn't burning my children, of course, as pro-life, but I was doing fortune telling, interpreting signs and omens and mediumship and teaching the things.
That's right.
And the kicker for me, and I was reading the New Living Translation for this, and it said that those people who do these practices, the practices themselves are idolatry and sorcery, which is condemned, but
that's right.
The people doing these practices are detestable abominations to God.
Yep.
And it was like, boom, boom. I was crushed. I was broken. I literally fell off my chair on my knees, crying my eyes out, horrified that, because I thought I was doing God's work before then. I used to call myself God's secretary with my channeling. So stupid. I was like Sarah Young making her Jesus Calling hokey books. And so I said to God, I didn't know. And that would not have been an excuse, would it? Because I had the Bible the whole life. So I said, I'm so sorry. I didn't know. Please don't send me to hell or the people that I passed this information along to hell. Please, Lord, please. I don't know what I'm doing, obviously, in my life. Please take over my life as my Lord and Savior. That's when I was saved, that very day that I read Deuteronomy 18, 10 through 12. See, what I needed, the kicker in the gospel that was always evading me was that I was a sinner.
That's
because
right.
in the New Age and in Christian Science, you're told you're perfect, whole, and complete, just like God created you. And that there's no sin. How could you be a sinner? That's just an illusion that the Roman Catholic Church made up to manipulate you.
Wow.
And so to realize as deep in my core as I could that I have sinned before a holy God. Mm-hmm. I was, listen to this, I was age 59. I'm 65 now. Mm-hmm. I'm going to turn 66 in 2 months. So I was a senior citizen coming out of a lifetime and a career in darkness, serving the kingdom of darkness. I was 2 Corinthians 11:15. Mm-hmm. Of course, 11:14 says that Satan masquerades as an angel of light. But the next verse is in view that the servants of the devil, they can appear to be workers of righteousness, that's but they're right. workers of lawlessness. And that was me. I didn't know I was working for the devil at all. Mm. I was absolutely clueless that I was serving Satan masquerading as an angel of light and tragically passing it along. It just grieves me every day. And even worse, I'd passed it along to millions of people as one of the top best-selling authors and going on all these talk shows and touring the world and raising my children that way. I mean, I relate to Apostle Paul, who calls himself the chief of sinners. That's how I feel about myself. Just, just so much godly sorrow I have over my past life. But I know God's sovereign. I absolutely know that in my heart. I know he allowed me to go way to the peak of my career when he saved me. If I had been on the downfall, people would have said, oh, she's just trying to make herself relevant. But I was at the very peak of my earthly career. I seemed to have it all. I had this, my husband, I had this big ranch in Hawaii, 50 acres.
Wow.
We had the best-selling career where it was, sold out audiences. We were being flown on first class everywhere, limos, penthouse suites at the Four Seasons, rock star lifestyle. I mean, rock star, we were getting paid so much money, but we were spending it faster than we could make it, which I found of the New Age authors and false teachers is true. It's like you become indentured servants to Satan. He's like a sugar daddy. He'll give you all your wishes. And then you think, oh, I must be doing something good because I've had all my wishes granted, but it's a way to hook you in.
That's right.
And it's all a counterfeit.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, what's interesting listening to you talk, when the Bible talks about slavery, often we think of slavery and the person who's being enslaved knows that they are. But Satan is so deceitful that he enslaves you and you want his slavery. Like you want what he feeds you. As you were speaking, it reminded me of 2 Corinthians 4:4. It says, in their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbeliever. So you were blind to the gospel, yet thinking you were promoting it. And that's just scary to think about it. And praise be to God, no credit to you. He opened your eyes, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a wonderful testimony to what God can do to the worst and the best of us, right? Someone who actually thought they were doing good.
Yeah, I did. Yes. It was, and if I had, I had tried to read the whole Bible during my life. When I was traveling, I'd get the Gideon's Bible out of the hotel drawer, and I would really try to read it, but I would get stuck, usually at Lot's and his daughters. Yeah. I'd be like, ew.
It's pretty weird.
It's pretty weird, yeah. So I needed a good Bible commentary. I went to seminary after I was saved because I was wrongly dividing the word. So I went to seminary only to learn how to rightly divide the word. And this is, I'm going to say this without boasting, because this is all glory to God. I got straight A's except for one B in seminary, 56 units, 2.5 years. I graduated with the highest honors of seminary. Again, all glory to God, not to me. Because if I'd gone to seminary before I was saved, I would have flunked out. I did not know the gospel at all.
That's right.
So I'm a living proof he can give you a new life and a new heart. And also my brother, you can see his picture behind me. Mm. My brother Ken, he got saved 20 years before I did. And he was praying for me and his men's group were praying for me every day for 20 years. They never gave up, even though I was such a heretic, such a blasphemer. And an adulterer and a fornicator and everything sinful. He never gave up on me. So I hope that encourages people who are listening to don't give up on your seemingly lost loved ones. There's, as long as they're breathing, there's hope.
That's right. Famously rejecting Jesus, lost ones.
Yes. I remember this one time my brother and his wife, as Christians, came to one of my parties in Laguna Beach. And I was sitting around with all my New Age friends. And Kenny starts sharing the gospel with all my New Age friends and me. I was horrified. I was I was so mad at him. And so that also should encourage people that you're going to offend your lost loved one, and they will get mad at you and they'll push back, but share it anyway, because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation for those who believe. So it plants a seed. That's all we have to do, is share the gospel with the people in the new age. Yeah. And then God does the rest, because God's word does not return void.
Amen. Yeah. I love that God uses agriculture, because it helps us as instantaneous gratification. He's like, listen, some of you till the ground, some of you plant the seed, God waters, it brings the increase. So it helps us to wake up every day and realize, look, I might just be tilling the ground of someone's heart, and someone else might get to give them the gospel seed, right? But both people are necessary, and both works are legitimate. Well, I want to talk a little bit about, and this is kind of where this podcast is. I wanted to introduce people to your ministry. Please go check out Audrine's website and her YouTube channels. Great work being done over there. If you, I will warn you though, if you YouTube her name, there are people out there who do not like her and have lots of videos that I went through and clicked some of them. I was like, oh, these people are not nice.
Well, they don't understand why I left the New Age. That's so right. They have their theories. And I just saw one yesterday that said they were channeling me to find out the truth. Yes. Oh. Interesting. Huh?
Well, okay. So speaking of, this is the part of Christianity that, Doreen, we don't want to spook people. We're not here to get likes and get views, because you could do that. You know, we could put a flashy, you know, thumbnail or whatever. What I really want to do is open up a side of people's Bibles that you were introduced to right from the moment of your conversion, because you understood what you came out of, right? But someone like me, who grew up in a very conservative home and really wasn't around the charismatic movement much, and Christianity was more about the do's and don'ts than it was the spiritual warfare that we fight in. You know, Jesus is preparing us for this kingdom life. You know, he talked about the way in which we are going to live and look. But the way I've been describing it lately is we look at the Bible in two realms, right? We can see the physical realm, the world that we live in, see, taste, touch, experience. And then we kind of believe that God lives in his realm. Like, so we believe in God and that he's in the heavens somewhere. But that's like as far as the Bible goes for us. When Paul and Peter and Jude and 1 John, and they mention the spiritual realm, as you said, you would read your Bible, but you didn't have categories for that. So you kind of would just let it go. So what I love to introduce to people is that the Bible never tells us not to do something that can't be done. It doesn't say you shall not fly. You know, you shall not grow a third eye. You know, it doesn't say, right? But it does say don't talk to the dead. Right? Mm-hmm. Don't tell the futures. I mean, I think it's interesting when Paul's in the book of Acts, he's proclaiming the gospel in the city and they start bringing all their magic books out to burn them. And they're like, dude, these things are worth a lot of money, because they realize the contrast between the spirit God to whom Paul is drawing them towards, who is the only true and wise God, the savior of sinners, versus the ones to whom they were serving. I remember when you and I have a conversation offline after our podcast, I was asking you about your experience of, you know, coming out of this, and were you really talking to demons? Were you really talking to other spirits? And I want you to talk a little bit about that, not for the sake of shock, but I'll tell you a story. And I remember telling you this story, so I'll tell it again just for the listener. I had an opportunity not long after you and I had met. I went and preached for a conference in Washington for parents that had lost their child to cancer. And one of the things that was happening, some of the parents were coming to talk to me, some of the moms saying, there's a number that's being passed around of a medium that is promising for, you know, $75, which I'm like, wow, $75 is pretty cheap these days, I guess. $75, they could talk to their child that they had just lost to cancer, right? So when he talks about prowling around on people, he prowls on the innocent, not the innocent, but those who are hurting, right? Yeah. Those who are grieving. Innocent in the way in which they're willing to believe anything just to have the hurt and pain gone. So talk to us a little bit about, that's what you were riding on. This is, you were on radio shows and TV shows. So to you, you're here to testify, this is legitimate warnings from scripture.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought that up, because a lot of people think of mediumship as the psychic with the crystal ball and the big hoop earrings. But the ordinary mediumship is in the church, unfortunately, and it's normalized. Mm-hmm. And that is talking to your deceased loved ones. Mm-hmm. When I was a New Age teacher, I did mediumship of four parents who'd lost a child for free, by the way. Mm-hmm. I never charged people for readings. And so I gave a lot of those kind of readings where kids had committed suicide or had died in an accident or an illness. And the details that would come through those readings were so, they seemed to be so accurate. Mm-hmm. And it did seem to bring comfort to people, because I would say, okay, you know, Johnny's showing me this dog that died, and they describe the dog, and he's in heaven with him, and they're jumping in leaves. Mm-hmm. Oh, Johnny used to play with the dog in the leaves when he was living. Oh, yay, you know, happy tears. Yeah. And I would give them details about how they died and just all and a lot of different things like that. And so mediumship seems to bring comfort, but it's mixing accuracy. I don't want to call it truth, accuracy with lies. Mm. It's failing the test of the spirit, 1 John 4. So we have to keep going back to that pivotal warning from the Apostle John.
That's right.
Because all of these readings I gave would seem to give temporary comfort, but they would never say, oh, you know, join your church's bereavement group, or talk to your pastor about this, or here, let's pray the Lord's Prayer together. And none of that would come up. Or let's go to the Psalms for comfort.
Right.
You know, none of that would ever come up. It was always about talking to the dead for comfort. And so I would end up teaching people how to do automatic writing. Wow. So they could get messages from Johnny on their own. And I would say, you know, you don't have to go to his grave, because he's with you, like on your shoulder, like a spirit guide. Now he's going to help you to make decisions. And even when I didn't teach that, which I regret, and it's absolutely mediumship. It's, mm-hmm. it's not any different than talking to the woman with the crystal ball and the hoop earrings. Mm-hmm. That's mediumship. I would write for this woman's magazine that's still sold on the checkout counter in most grocery stores, called Woman's World. I wrote a column there for, gosh, maybe 10 years, called My Guardian Angel. And that column was all about mediumship. It was about, oh, I saw my mother's favorite bird at the funeral right after she died, and I know that bird was giving me a message from heaven. My dad loved monarch butterflies, and every time I see them, I know my dad is sending me a message. I had a dream about my grandfather. He told me this in the dream after he died. And that seems to be so normalized, but that's the abomination. That makes the person the abomination. Even though I sound cold and callous now, what I want to warn everyone is that Satan masquerades as an angel of light, and sometimes that means he masquerades as your deceased loved one.
That's right.
And so if you're getting these dreams that seem very real, that seem very accurate, beware, because Satan is an evil genius. He's a cunning father of lies who will point you away from Jesus. That's his whole mission, is to point you to yourself, to him, and away from the true gospel.
Yeah. Well, and that's the point, because the Bible doesn't give us, the Bible is not silent on grieving and hope. Right? The Bible is very clear that it teaches us how to grieve, how to find comfort, how to find joy, and to look beyond death, right? And mm-hmm. Because we're so physical in nature and we want immediate results, Satan plays on this all of the time. And, you know, I had mamas in tears wanting to call that number. And I had to sit there and counsel them and walk them through the hope of the gospel and the hope of the comfort that God, we can cast all our anxieties on him. The church is designed, grieve with those who are weeping, right? Weep with them. So the church is designed, and then we don't weep like other people. We will see our loved ones if they were in faith in Christ, right? So, but instead, they really wanted to be able to think, I am in communication with my child, which puts down a mama who misses their child, or their dad that misses their child, right? And wishes to speak with them. My dad passed away when I was 21. And if you could have tempted me with the idea of being able to get some advice, you know, from him, would have been amazing. But the Bible specifically says, don't do that. Not just once, not twice, but it's condemned in the Old and the New Testament as a practice
that's
right. that we cannot be participating in. But yet the hard part is that there are so many people who aren't taught well in Scripture. And because of that, that's what this podcast is here for, is that we don't want you to fall into the same traps that Doreen fell into. Like, we don't want you to be able to be deceived, because what you're doing is you're opening your life and your heart to realms that the Bible says that we're supposed to be resisting, and only following the truth, which is 1 John 4, right? We're testing that based on, does this align with what we know is true? Or am I being led to believe that, you know, sure, they're appeasing my heart at the moment, but what lies are they implanting into my heart as well?
That's right. That's the whole hinge right there. I would give mediumship readings on radio where I couldn't see the person. I didn't know them, because people have said, oh, it must have been sleight of hand. You saw their wedding ring. No, I was giving cold readings to on radio. When I'd be on TV stations, they would sometimes have phone-ins, where I'd, you know, hear the voice only of the person. I'd be in front of large audiences without the audience lights on, and I would be able to give them extremely accurate readings, because the demons know enough to deceive people.
That's right.
I mean, that's what we have to remember, is that the demons, they're heartless. They have absolutely no compassion for people who are grieving. Nope. They see them as vulnerable sitting ducks. And I just want to say something, and maybe you'll edit this out, but I'm really concerned. Okay, there's a pastor who has written a book. His name is Steve Berger. I think he's in your state, actually.
Okay.
And he's with Promise Keepers, and he tragically lost his son, Josiah. Mm. I mean, my heart goes out to him for losing that. But he wrote a book about communication with his deceased son called Have Heart, that's still in print 13 years later. And a number of us have tried to contact him to ask him, could you please repent for this? Because you're encouraging people to talk to deceased loved ones, and this is condemned. And he keeps going to Hebrews 12, which says that there's a great cloud of witnesses, which a lot of people use to justify mediumship, without going the context that it's about Hebrew 11, the hall of faith.
That's right.
That's the cloud of witnesses, is those who came before us, the fathers of Judeo-Christianity.
That's right.
And so we're very concerned about Steve Berger's effect, especially since he's now high up in Promise Keepers, that people will get a hold of his book, Have Heart. And again, my heart goes out to him. I'm not condemning how much he must be grieving, but
absolutely,
I have the receipts with the highlighted pages of where he encourages people to talk to their deceased loved ones, and saying that he knows that Deuteronomy 18, he says that in the book, but he said that God gave him a special dispensation, a special exception. And very concerning.
Yeah, and that's where, again, you know, 1 John's helpful, test the spirits, anything that's kind of outside of Scripture. And I'm with you. I'm not aware of his book, but I'm with you in that, hey, look, it's really hard. If you've ever lost someone you love, it's really hard. Okay, it's very, very hard. And at times it sucks the life out of you, and you want to make sense of something. Again, I think this is where Satan does his best to keep us away from the truth, away from his church, away from God's church, away from the gospel. And part of why I wanted to do this podcast, probably why I want to bring this on, because maybe there are mamas who is like, well, I don't know, maybe I should go see a medium. Our hope is, after you hear this, the solution isn't just to not, is just to white knuckle this thing, okay? Your God has so much for you. He has so much promise. He wants to build you up and encourage you and strengthen you. Most of the New Testament was written to suffering, persecuted Christians, just to help you understand that. These passages that warn us, like, for instance, I'll give you a great example. I'm preaching through Peter right now. He's writing to people who are on the outskirts of Rome and who are about to be tortured in horrendous ways. And he says, prepare your mind for action and be sober-minded. Why? Because this type of teaching, these types of lies will come in and get us to believe another gospel, believe another truth, to take and believe in another power. Why would he warn us against that? Because later on in his letter, he says, well, because Satan's a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Peter continues to believe that even though Christ is risen from the grave and he has defeated sin and death, there's still forces at play here until God comes back and judges them. And those forces, as Doreen has talked about, they don't play nice. There are no rule books for them. I mean, God has a set of rules that they can't touch us in certain ways, but when it comes down to their deceit, it's horrendous. So for those of you that are suffering, who may be under this, maybe you're watching this because, well, you know, it popped up on your feed and you're like, yeah, I'm curious about, you know, talking to the dead. I'm curious about the New Age movement, and please hear Doreen's story. And more importantly, please hear scripture when it says that this can happen. It can happen to anyone. We should all be worried, and not worried as if God's not powerful. There's nothing that can separate us from the love of Christ, but we can be deceived. And that's really what this podcast is about, is how do we walk in the light as he is in the light, right? We walk by the Spirit. Well, where do we learn of the Spirit, Doreen? We learn of the Spirit in his word, right? Mm-hmm. So what it means by that is we have to know the word. And how is it that the word comes to us? Well, the safest way that God has designed the word is in his kingdom. And in his kingdom, he has these outposts. They're called churches. And the churches are designed to build us up and to lift us up and encourage us. And both our ministries are designed to help pull people out of the kingdom of darkness, underneath the lies that are there, and put them underneath good shepherds that will love them and care for them. You know, a good shepherd is how you got to know Christ. You know, I'm so mm-hmm. thankful for Alistair Begg and him preaching yes. the gospel faithfully. But that wasn't enough, right? You're in a good local church now that cares mm-hmm. for you yep. and that you love your church members, you love your pastor, and that's a part of your growth, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. We sit under a faithful pastor who himself was saved out of the Four Square Pentecostal movement.
Oh, really?
So he understands deception. A lot of people in our church have come out of deception. So they know my story. They still love me. they don't gossip about it. It's just part of who we are. So it's expository line by line preaching. I mean, if we get through 3 or 4 verses a week, it's amazing. And then we do Bible study every Wednesday night also. So yeah, we are absolutely in his word and sitting under that solid preaching and the fellowshipping. One of the things I really appreciate about being in a solid church is being with other women who know the Bible, who care about his word. That had not been the case in other churches we'd gone to. Mm. We'd gone to quite a few Baptist churches where from the pulpit, it was solid. But when you get in the women's group, they were teaching Beth Moore, Priscilla Schreier, and it was all fluff, emotionalism, and, you know, let's just do prayer requests for an hour and a half and call it a Bible study. Mm. And then prayer requests are important, but I wasn't being fed as a woman until I got to this church, a Reformed Baptist church, where the women actually, they care about,
that's right,
about renewing their minds.
That's right. Well, and those verses become powerful to us because we realize mm-hmm. the moment we believe that we are not to disengage from the world, but we're not to be of its values, right? The values, they gratify the flesh and they really pursue that which is unholy. So we're not of the values, but we have to live in it, you know, because we are the light, we're the salt. Well, what happens when you live in it long enough, you get bombarded hard enough, guess what your mind needs? It needs to be renewed, right? And so
it does.
Yeah, constantly. This is why being a part of a good church and a pastor who knows the word, you can be a part of the congregation, because when it says, you know, when we get trapped in sin, we can build one another up. And I guess let me put it this way. You and I both have had really bad experiences in churches. Well, just because someone may have a bad experience in church doesn't mean that the problem was the church.
No.
The problem was there was some sinners in the church who took over and stopped obeying the way in which they should be. And so I know a lot of times people hear a podcast like this and like, well, I'm not going to the church because I know what my experience has been. And I understand that. But did you stop going to restaurants the last time you got food or bad service? No. No. You know, humans are humans. We do dumb things, right?
It's all God has to work with as sinners, you know.
That's right.
So, there's sinners. Churches are places, hospitals for sick people, right?
That's absolutely right.
But I want to just kind of circle back to something you said, Pastor John, about the importance of God's word. Because when right on the day that I was saved in September 2017 was my first conscious experience with spiritual warfare. Wow. And a lot of people coming out of the New Age or heavy darkness like I did go through the same thing, where there's this palpable sense of evil around you. And it was terrifying to me because I didn't believe in evil before reading the Bible.
That's right.
I was told that it's all, you know, love, and the rest is just an illusion.
That's right.
And so I had insomnia because of this, I could sense evil around me. And I even had this thought that there's people praying against me. And I got that confirmed that there was witches and people in the Tarot community and the New Age community just so angry with me. They thought I betrayed them. They thought I was Judas to them. Just so. And so I had bad insomnia and I didn't know what to do about all this. So I started to research deliverance. And I got hooked into three different deliverance ministries initially, including one with a man who charges a fortune to go online and hold a cross in front of you and wave the cross to cast out demons. And, so these deliverance ministries, I bought all the books about the prayers that route out demons, you know, all the different resources that I could find without having a theological understanding of the armor of God and resist the devil and he will flee. I didn't understand all that. So I was still trying to do everything in my own strength by going to deliverance ministers and it helped temporarily.
Yeah.
But it got worse. It got much worse. And so finally I said, okay, what did Jesus do in the wilderness? He was quoting the Bible. It is written. And so I started to listen to the Bible audios of the Bible. And I've been doing that every day since 2017. I listen to a chapter of the book, a book of the Bible every night as I'm falling asleep. And it's interesting when you hear the Bible, sometimes you hear things that you don't get when you're reading it. So
that's right.
In the morning I read the Bible and then during the day I read the Bible, but at night I listen to it while I'm driving. And to have them both, it just saturates your mind with scripture, helps you to tuck the verses in your heart. And that has helped me more than anything with spiritual warfare. And it's free of charge. There's free audio books of the Bible you can get. You know, going to these deliverance ministries to me was such a waste of time and money. And it made things so much worse. So I get very concerned when I see people leaving the New Age, going right into deliverance ministry because they still want that mysticism. They still want that self-help. And then they twist scripture. They say, well, Jesus empowered the disciples to cast out demons. So therefore we are empowered. And so we have to combat that by saying, but there's not one case in the Bible of a saved believer having demons cast out of them because we have the Holy Spirit indwelling us. So a demon cannot be inside of us too. We only have the spiritual warfare of the demons around us as promised, but the Bible equips us perfectly with how to deal with that.
And that's right.
Jim Osmond, I hope you have him on this podcast. Yeah. He went through all the instances of spiritual warfare in the Bible. He found the number one reason for spiritual warfare was unrepentant sin. And so he quotes, you know, the Bible and John Owen, we have to mortify our sin as best as we can. All of us are sinners still, but
that's right.
As best as you can, you know, to be not be consciously sinning and to be repentant. He said that is probably one of the most important things to do. So I work with people coming out of the New Age to, first of all, help them to Acts 19:19, get rid of all the sorcery and New Age material, the occultic. Get it out of your house. Burn it if you can. Throw it away. Destroy it. Do not sell it or donate it because you're passing along the deception. Just get it out of there. People ask me all the time, is this object evil? Objects themselves are not evil. But it's an idol. And so it's the way it's used that is evil. This is breaking the first and the second commandments. Idolaters are referenced in Revelation 21 and 22 as being kept outside of the new heaven and even being cast into the lake of fire along with sorcerers. So idolatry is a really big deal. And the New Age is just 100% about, first of all, making yourself into an idol. And secondly, about praying to statues and paintings and crystals and even essential oils. And people say, well, there's oils in the Bible, but it's not essential oils. It's distilled oils. But in the New Age, you make those essential oils idols to say, this will bring me abundance. This will bring me joy and forgiveness. You know, same with crystals. God made crystals. They're in Genesis to Revelation. But the idolatry of crystals is where the issue is. So we have to be honest with ourselves and the Holy Spirit. What are my idols? And then ask for the God to give you strength to get rid of those idols.
Amen. No, that is so helpful. You know, going back to, I think what's interesting, you said unrepentant sin. There's so many times when we don't understand how sin controls the heart and the mind, right? I'll give you an example. So at the end of 1 Peter, he talks about how we have a pure heart, like our heart's been cleansed and we've been set free from the bondage of being under the slavery of our old slave master. And so he says, put away malice and deceit and slander and envy. Why does he tell us to put those things away? Well, because they were driven by the gratification of the flesh. And Ephesians 2 says that the ruler of this age, the ruler of the air, he was the one who was feeding us, as he was blinding us, but with our own sin. So underneath, now we walk, it says, desire the pure spiritual milk, right? Because why? We live in the truth of knowing that love and sacrifice and mercy and kindness is what produces the outcome of what we're trying to do with these sins. And every time we turn back to the old way, we're believing the lie of Satan. And the moment we start indulging in the lies, which is sin, it starts to blind us again. And no, we can't, as believers, be indwelt by a demon or an unclean spirit or any kind of a god or anything like that. But its influence, half the New Testament is written about the influence of it in our lives, right? It's like Paul twice says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, church, but against rulers and powers. He says in 2 Corinthians, the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but of divine power. And what does he point us to? The truth and the knowledge of Christ is how we tear down these strongholds. Well, and again, this gets into the deliverance ministry. It's like, well, we can use certain prayers. We can use certain verses. We proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, right? Amen. We teach the truth of who he is. It's not certain kinds of prayers. It's not certain kinds of omens and languages. It is the faith. Because if you look at the Bible, Paul tells Timothy, and it's in Hebrews as well, that all of scripture is what is necessary for everything we need in life and godliness, right? So to fight this war, we go back and look at the story and the truths of who God is and his redemption of sinners and what he describes as true freedom and what he describes as holiness. And the reason why I mention all of this is that this is a real war. We wake up every day. What does Jesus tell us to do? I'll end with this and then I'll let you have any final thoughts, Doreen. When you think about what Jesus tells you to pray on a daily basis, okay, just think about this for a moment. He says, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, your kingdom come. So the same kingdom, he says, seek first the kingdom of God. Your kingdom come, your will be done as it is on earth. So our entire life is to be about his kingdom, his work. And I'm not here to pick on people, but it's not culture transformation. It's not deliverance ministry. It's about the proclamation of the good news of the kingdom. That's the first thing we're praying about the advancement of God's kingdom. Then he says, give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debtors as we also need, or forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. And then he says, what? Keep us from the evil one, right? Why would he say that? Well, because the temptation that comes our way of things that could be good, food, family, drink, entertainment, Satan will use those to enslave us, to entrap us. That's what that prayer means to Jesus when he's saying, and keep us from temptation, from the deliverance of the evil one. It's part of our daily prayer is that, yes, there are traps out there that we have to be careful of. How do we remain in the light? It's not by looking for him. It's by renewing our minds, right, in the word of the truth. So, Doreen, I'll give it over to you for one last word, mm-hmm. and then we'll call it yeah. This is a long podcast, but a good one.
Yeah, well, there's so much to say. And thank you for this opportunity to glorify God and to do what Ephesians 5:11 says, have no fellowship with darkness, but instead expose it.
That's right.
The Bible's very clear that we are to glorify God in everything we do. Mm. So there's things that are in the New Age that are creeping in the church that glorify the self instead of God. The Bible also says we cannot drink of the cup of the demons and the cup of the Lord. We cannot eat at the table of the demons and the table of the Lord, meaning we can't blend paganism with Christianity. They just are the opposites. Paganism, New Age, glorifies the self. Christianity is all glory to God. So all glory to God for saving us and for giving us this opportunity to give glory to him.
Amen. And I just love that you brought that out. The scripture warns us about that because, well, it was happening in the New Testament. They were doing mm-hmm. this. And the New Testament writers are like, you got to stop. You can't do this anymore. This is not right. Well, thank you so much for coming on. And tell them a little bit about where they can find your ministry if they're interested in following you on YouTube or your website and socials.
Thank you very much. Well, I'm on Instagram, Doreen Virtue. If people want to write to me, I'm very slow in replying sometimes because it's just me, but you can send me a message there. Or my new podcast is called New Age to New Heart. Mm. It's on American Gospel TV. It's on Spotify, Apple, YouTube, and people can ask questions there. If someone's coming out of the New Age, please join us in our private Facebook support group called New Age to Jesus. I'm one of the administrators there, and we will help you to unpack these confusing things in the early days of your walk with Christ.
Amen. I guarantee you wish there was something like that available for you when you were coming out.
Yes, absolutely.
That's awesome. Hey, thanks for listening to the Kingdom Podcast. And if you would like to reach out to me or any of our ministries, you can go to theocast.org. We have a community there as well. We'd love to hear from you. And again, thanks for joining us, Doreen. It was such a joy and pleasure to be able to talk with you. We'll talk hopefully around the King's throne, but if not, we'll have an episode for you guys next week. God bless.